for McDonald's. Triple M rocks football. This is The Rub.
Yes, we do. Very, very excited too at the Triple MCG to start season 2016 with the traditional opener. Richmond and Carlton at the Coliseum. Going to be a big crowd. Going to be plenty of interest. Some big young talent on display, including the number one draft pick. And we're going to discuss that with the best in the business. So I look around, I can see him ready to go. Damien Barrett, newsbreaker extraordinaire. Extraordinary form last night on the Footy Show. Purple, welcome to the season.
Hello, Jim. I can't see this upset that a lot of people are talking about today either. I think Richmond are good things.
Just a nice glass half empty start there for Purple.
Just calling it as it is.
Just put a nice fire engine hose on the game. And
take the wind out of the whole night.
We're trying to get some suspense going for the millions of Blues fans listening on the way in. The Chief, of course, four-time Premiership superstar. Hall of Fame legend, Jason Dunstall. Nice to see you, Chief.
Very excited to be back, Jim. It's always great when the real stuff starts. It's been a long off season. Let's be brutally honest. Yes. Wouldn't mind if it was a bit longer. But we are back. The real stuff is here, and we are ready to go. And what better than to have a look at these two teams tonight to kick things off?
Just explore what he's been up to in the off season, too, the Chief. It always fascinates me. And the Big Duke, of course, all Australian superstar ruckman for the Western Bulldogs, and dominating in the breakfast slot with the hot breakfast. Hello, Duke.
Hello, Jim. Really excited to be here as well. I love what this game is. It always throws up something interesting. We saw Ben Cousins rip his hamstring on this wing right in front of where we're sitting, and I'm a bit different today. I think you could see something a little strange tonight. Richmond's preparation not ideal, Chief, and I'm not sure we do want to explore what Chief gets up in the off-season.
I think we need to.
That is a well you don't want to go down.
I have no idea where you're going.
Just what you actually get up to, Chief, because you're
very little
mysterious Nipsey, who basically says goodbye to us on grand final day. None of us lay our eyes on you again.
No communication
at
all.
You know I like to go away skiing, and I try to get that in, which I did do, and had a beautiful holiday with my brother.
That's a couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
A couple of weeks out of 6 months.
I spent a bit of time up in Queensland.
Right.
And then just float around and keep a low profile.
Do you?
Unlike your good self, who needs to be seen and needs to be swanning around like a preened turkey. I'm pretty happy just quiet downtime, Jim.
I just do the job I'm paid for, Chief. But the thing
with
you
is you go over and above,
my
friend.
Look at you. You look like you're comfortable to me, Chief. That'd be the best way I'd describe it.
Very.
Good?
Very.
So, what
else? Comfortable as we get older, Jim.
Oh, I know that. But up in the high rise, and what are we just...
what happens up there, Chief?
Why don't we drill down to what you're trying to get to, Jim?
Well, I just don't know what you're up to, Chief. I like
you're
to know...
You're trying to work out I've been flying up something, eh?
I don't know.
What is it, Jim? Get to the point, because you're waffling on.
I wasn't going there. I was just interested to know.
No, you're not. You're being a sarcastic prick is what you're
now
being.
That you've opened that door, I'm interested, Chief. I'm interested in what you get up to, because I find it fascinating.
At my age, Duke, happy just to be breathing every day.
Right. I think he holds back on us, Chief. Yeah, I think he's got a lot more going on than he's revealing at the moment. But we'll get to that, I reckon.
Do you speak to anyone you work with, Chief, during the winter months, over the summer months at all?
Well, but you speak to people you work with every day.
The idea
when you're not working with them is to go and catch up with your friends and family and other acquaintances and catch up with people that you don't talk to.
But it might be a text or a phone call.
Like the rest of us do keep up with each other.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Most of the
have
people
a few beers,
I work
few
with
dinners.
So you kind of, you know, you got to weigh that up as well.
Chief, you and I especially go back a long way, 20 years. So I just would have thought it might be, Jim, how's everything?
It's a fair call, Jim. How many times do you ring me?
Lots.
Not a once.
Very supportive with the Renegades.
Not a once.
Until we didn't go as well, and then I dropped off.
All he did was send texts going, what is going on there, Chief? Get something happening, will you?
I was on board early, Duke. And
that took up a bit of the off-season. Yes. And that was very disappointing. We had a good season off-field, but a poor season on-field, unfortunately. But we'll get him next time.
Actually, that's Chief, what you and I did speak at one stage, and you did ask how Jim was. I do recall your concerns there. Yep. So he did ask about how you were.
But didn't direct it himself.
It's funny all these people that say, any danger calling?
Yep.
Well, my phone's not broken either, so it actually receives calls, Jim.
But, Chief, there's no... You don't have a message bank.
Everyone doesn't have to... Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone doesn't have to come to Jim. Actually come to someone.
Most people come to me. I gave up, Chief, ringing you because there was no message. So
there
I could
is
never
now.
Leave you a message.
There is message.
The message bank now, is there?
Right, that's nice.
That's a start.
Duke... working hard since the end of January. I caught up with you, and well, we actually just missed each other in San Francisco. But you go do it. The only man I know to do breakfast radio from Portsea, and then San Francisco. Yeah. I understand Rio later on.
We try and keep that to ourselves, Jim, if we could. Hey, what a great trip that was. Yes. Getting over there and seeing the Super Bowl this year, Chief and Damo, one of the great things to do for you. And you know what? It's very accessible these days. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Australians over there. Lots of tour groups. It's just, I don't follow it week in, week out, but I love it. I wish I had the time to. And you get there, the game didn't get a great rap. I love the game. Man. I love what it was.
You were 12 months too late for one of the best games of all time in terms of Super Bowl, because quite often they're fizzes.
Can happen. Yep. But just watching, we were talking about this before we came to air, to see the maybe the biggest athlete in America, Cam Newton, the quarterback, just disintegrate on the biggest stage before our eyes was something he just went, surely it can't be this bad, surely he finds a way. So that was very enjoyable.
And Damo, yourself?
Well, you've seen a bit of me, Jim.
I have, and I like it. Actually, Damo the other night, Duke, went out with a few of the boys. Because a lot of people, I tell a lot of people this fact.
And they don't believe this, do they?
When it comes to spending time at the bar, I've come across, Adam Gilchrist might be the only one that I put in Damo's category of being able to stay till the very end and be in as good a nick at the end as he was at the start. Mm. Unlike myself, who's most often a dribbling mess and they've gone long gone, Damo's got this incredible capacity. Anyway, out the other night with a few of the boys and the great Wayne Carey, one of them, and I saw the duck recently and he turned around and he said exactly that. He said, I never believed you when you told me about Damo. And the other night he dusted us all off, he reckons.
Ooh, that's high praise from the king.
Did you get the invite to those drinks, Duke?
Did not get a look
no,
in on that one.
No, we don't like you. I wonder why we don't talk to him.
We don't like you, Chief. That's the thing with that. Like,
you just spent 10 minutes grilling me saying, why didn't I call?
No, that was a specific dinner. I wasn't at it myself. I had to leave.
Although, Jim, you did leave early that night too.
I did. I had to leave.
You brushed us.
Why'd you have to leave?
I had a dinner to attend, so I couldn't have dinner there. I had a dinner somewhere else.
Private dinner.
Is that okay?
He rolled up for one.
Private dinner day.
I was there for 3 or 4 beers, Chief.
Private and dinner day, Jim?
No, just a corporate dinner it was, actually, Chief.
No, it was not.
I don't think it was corporate.
You could lie straight in there.
It wasn't corporate.
It was not corporate at all.
And then I had to leave.
Was he heading to a corporate date?
It was a corporate dinner, Chief, that I had to attend in the city square.
Jim, you lie.
I'm looking you in the eye, Chief.
You can't lie without starting to give yourself away. You smile and everyone knows you're lying.
And Duke, the hot breakfast flying. What about the first survey?
Yes, we don't like to talk about it, Jim, apart from the fact we are miles in front and dominating.
Number one.
We've learnt that from you. That's the way to go about it. No, it's 7 years it's been, and it's gone unbelievably quickly. And as I said to you on the way up in the lift, there are certain people you cannot... Chief, you'd last about 6 weeks in Breakfast Radio. You would be just an absolute...
Not a morning person.
No, exactly right. And if you are, like it. I get up, I like getting in there, and the show's in good shape at the moment.
Very good. And we've got lots of footy to discuss, don't worry. There's plenty of news around, and we need to get a look at these two teams too. Carlton, what are they going to come up with tonight and for the rest of the season? And the Tigers, well, you can talk about them forever, and it's always fascinating. So that's going to happen. Also, big news as well. But we need to just pause and say to Gaz, if he's listening, I don't know whether he will be, but our best to him
as he
continues to work through what he's going through. It's a very serious affliction, and we know he's doing it tough. So if he is listening to Triple M Footy, on behalf of everyone, and there are millions that listen to us, they'll all have great thoughts that he's on track and going well.
Well said.
Yep. We'll just look after the back row until he's ready to come back.
Well, and therefore you need to lift, Chief, because you've been
shit out. I don't need to lift, in fact.
You've been poxy for the last sort of 5 years. You've allowed Gaz to dominate, and you've sat there doing bugger all.
In fact, you're completely off the mark, Jim, because I am top billing.
So now, well, you are now, Chief, so you're going to have to bring your real good stuff.
No, I'm actually going to just taper back a little.
Are you?
Give a little bit more space for you and Duke to sort of pull your weight.
Dust off some of your top shelf stuff, Chief.
None of this sort of happy chief. None of this happy chief routine. It's time for you to open up.
I had a great off-season. I'm very happy.
No, you're not, mate. As a rule, you're not. Yeah,
no,
it's time for you to light up.
Chief.
Yes, they
chief?
Do.
No, we don't.
Happy chief's awesome.
You don't even... You don't even like happy chief. Let's be honest with you.
I had a blue with him the other day.
Did you? What are we expecting here, boys? What are you thinking, Duke, as you came to the ground? You said that they can cough up a weird result, this one. Everyone's saying the Blues, no chance. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a bit closer than that, Chief, to be honest with you. I mean, just if you're being logical, you say that Richmond are good enough to win. But, yeah, there's a couple of holes that have appeared. NAB3 was a bit of a car crash for them in the end. when you looked at what happened in terms of injury. They end up getting back Shane Edwards, who thought broke his collarbone. He's actually going to play tonight. But Ivan Maric is a huge loss. Brett Dilidio is a massive out in that team. And you just don't know. There's a huge build-up to round one. You get to prepare for this one like you don't for any other game. And you've got a side that you don't know much about at the moment. Brendan Bolton, I think's definitely got a much better system, a game style we can understand. So it could throw up a strange result tonight, Duke.
I'm not with you, Duke. I understand why you're going there, and they are missing some significant players, the Tigers. But what you just said a moment ago, you're talking about the Blues have a new game style, a new game plan. It takes a while for that to bed down.
Does it always, though? Saw the Bulldogs last year completely change game style and beat West Coast in round one and have some... historically, it does, but it doesn't always have to.
But Luke Beveridge had more quality to work with. I think you've got a very young group at Carlton and there's a few good players coming through, but there's also a few there that, you know, are mid-range that haven't been able to get the job done before. So you wouldn't say they've got the strongest list in the competition. So I just think it's going to take a while for the fruits of the new game plan to come through. And Sauce has still got a big job rebuilding that list, and that's going to take, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You don't do that over one summer either.
And that'll concern the people putting the draw together, Purple, because this is a big night. This is a marquee night on the footy calendar, and they need Carlton strong to get 80-plus thousand.
Yeah, Jim, and I know you sort of ticked me off with what I said at the outset too, not subscribing to the upset possibility tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that this is the opening match of the season either, and it's been a dud game now for a number of years. And I say that because... it was back in the 80s where the two grand finalists of the previous year were scheduled to play off. Now, I don't know whether the fixture, the way it's done these days, allows for that to happen. But there is still a way to ensure that the very first game of the season, Darce and Chief and Jim, is of a better nature than this one we're getting. Now, and that being an Easter weekend too, Jim, it's compounded in my eyes too, because we've got this long build-up to this game and then tomorrow it shuts down again. And look, the rest of the round is quite extraordinarily positioned, I think, and there's extraordinary anticipation about just about every other game. But to me, I'm sorry, not about this one as the very first game of the season.
Bit harsh, Tony. There's two big Melbourne clubs. You're going to have 80,000 here at the MCG. Who knows the result? And it's only a matter of time. I mean, Anzac Day is the same. Occasionally you get a game there that doesn't, you know, like this year. But you can't just change this fixture on the basis
I reckon
that,
you can, Darce. Carlton's build is going to be a long time.
They did it two years ago. It was the worst opening to a season that we've ever seen. They changed. They opened with games interstate. It was the year that we had the World Cup of Soccer on, and it was a disaster.
Well, Hawthorn West Coast Thursday night. That would be a good matchup for the entirety of the competition, surely.
You can't guarantee great matches, no matter what you do. And we've seen that happen in grand finals. Jim, you're a club chairman. There's talk about... do Carlton deserve the opening game of the season? There's talk about, do Essendon deserve the Anzac Day clash? You've been trying to push North Melbourne to play a Good Friday game.
Yep.
Clubs that own games like this, do you just accept that it's not always going to be a classic game? Or would you subscribe to the theory that Walker wants to just say, well, let's play it year by year, and just pick the two best teams you think will put on the best show?
Well, I think you've got to accept that they're owned by, you know, Easter Monday is now Hawthorn Geelong, and has been a brilliant thing. There will come a time within the next 20 years when that won't be as good a game, because the clubs won't be as strong as they have been for the last decade. I don't think that means you take it off them. So I'm not subscribing to the stripping it of them, but I will say this. The AFL, quite rightly, will be sitting back thinking, well, they hope this Carlton rebuild happens quick, because this is a big game and they can't have it one-sided for the next 5 years.
Following on from exactly what you just said then, say Carlton finished bottom this year or second bottom, what do you do when you are fixturing round one next year?
Well, the good thing about round one, Chief, is that every supporter starts with hope. When you get around nine, you can often have dropped that hope because you realise your team are cooked and no bloody good, and then you lose interest. But before round one, everyone's got great interest. So I think that's what the AFL bank with this game. They go, all right, we know the Blues aren't as strong as we hope they're going to be, but they've still got this great interest around where they're going to be. So I think they'll stick with this, is what I'm thinking.
Do you think the general, or the non-Richmond, the non-Carlton followers, Jim, have got a big anticipation component to this game?
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not, because the Blues finished last year. But the Tigers always bring this amazing anticipation because they've just got this huge critical mass. I think they've got to take a longer-term view. I think the Blues are going to end up being good at some stage. Let's hope it soon, because the competition needs them back and strong. They haven't been for a long time. So I think it's got to stay, but I just know the AFL will be thinking, I hope it's quick. I hope they get it right quickly.
I would personally love them to tackle fixing the fixture all round, and then I'm open to all that. But while it is a fixture, and we've got these games, you know, that's a bigger picture discussion. I know Gillon McLachlan's got an appetite to do it. 17 rounds, extended finals. I'd love them to find a solution to that, because that still, to me, is the biggest issue we've got in the game.
But, well, not for the next six seasons, Stas, at least.
No, exactly.
Has that been ruled out for the next?
Yeah, it's ruled out.
Now the media rights is done. You've got...
I thought they still had...
nine games and the rounds are locked in, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Unless they found a way to come up with the same number of matches, but with an extended final series. Does that rule out
You couldn't reduce the amount of rounds played and got the same amounts of games.
Unless you had two-tiered final system and you went into
wild cards
and you played the same number of games, I thought that was something they were exploring, albeit difficulty.
Yeah. Sam Newman last night said to John Worsfold on the Footy Show, in his own inimitable way, you realise that you're going to fail this season, and you realise you're not going to win a game. Which was nice when you get a senior coach to come onto your show. But and he very quickly said that it came out a bit more harshly than he meant it. But they're going to win a game, Essendon.
I think they'll win a game, because I think they'll catch someone out of form, someone that doesn't have a great day. And what will happen is things will go right for the Bombers on that day. The players will get a sniff. They'll, the ones that they need playing well will be playing well. And I reckon they'll find a way to get over the line. That just happens in this sport, in most sports. The underdog every now and then has a day out where everything goes right. And then the team that should win has a day where a lot of things go wrong. I think they'll jag one, but it's going to be a hell of a tough year.
They're not
going to
jag five, though, are they, Chief?
No. Fascinating, I thought, John Worsfold last night.
I thought he was good, Jim.
How did he
really
respond?
Open. Well, let's just backtrack over it to a couple of issues that we did raise with him, Chief and Das. And one of them, Jim, that you referred to was if a player comes to him, one of the 12 that he's got who are missing the entirety of the year, comes to him and says, I want to leave this football club, how are you going to receive it? And I thought he was really open in what he responded with.
I would definitely take into account what that player feels. I don't think you're ever going to get the best out of someone if they're not passionate about where they are and the role they've got to play. So that's what we would be aiming for. But there's rules within the game that would have to be used to facilitate any movement of any players. But, our aim is to, and my aim would be to have all 12 back at the footy club.
Dus?
Yeah, it's good. I love John Worsfold for that, because I think he is unfiltered with his honesty on that front. And that's a pragmatic approach. I mean, if someone comes back and says... Dyson Heppel, who you'd want to keep probably as the number one in my view, because he's probably going to be your next captain. If he came and said that, you know what, he's lost interest in the... You'd do everything you could to talk him around, but, I mean, Chief's been in that role before, but once you've found someone's out, you know what, you have to be pragmatic about it, and, there probably will... Someone will fall out of that group for sure, and he won't want that to happen, but, that's just life, isn't it, sometimes?
He won't have all 12 back. There's no doubt about that. He will not have all 12 back. But the ones he gets back, he's got to get the best out of. And I think that's what he was inferring there.
And things have changed, and players will wake up some mornings feeling differently to how the way they went to going to sleep the previous night as to whether they stay or go. But as it stands, Darcy, Hooker looks to be out. And that may well be at a Melbourne base club. It's not necessarily one
out
of the Perth
clubs. Out because he's had enough of the environment and it's got too much for him, Damo. Is that your information?
Yeah, that's information. But again, that could change. But as it stands right now, Hurley's the other worry for them in that big man sense, in that big, powerful body. Sense he's not in a great space at the moment where he's thinking about it, Jim. Again, that can change over the journey. And Heppel's the big worry, the man who's going to be their next captain if he stays. But he is thinking about a lot of things too. And you got Myers and Collier and others as well. But they're the big three when it comes to that discussion.
I don't think you could begrudge any of those players who just decided, I want a fresh start. I want a different environment, and I just want to start again. Put that chapter behind me and start anew. I don't think you could regard any player doing
And John Worsfold effectively said that, didn't he? If he can't convince the player to stay. Jim, the other topic that I thought was a really open way of answering the question that was put to him last night with John Worsfold was, what about other players who are still wanting to get some compensation from the footy club? Can they actually have their cake and eat it too? Yep. Can they sue the club, and would you allow them to sue the club and also run out to play on a weekend? And this is what he had to say about that potential scenario.
If a player sued the club and then was out of suspension next year, would you have him back?
I would, yeah, I would. If the player was still passionate about playing for the footy club. So, obviously, we all have our rights. And the
even though he's taken legal action against them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've really weighed that up. And we would let the players play out their rights. But if that player, regardless of that, was still passionate about playing for the club, then I would love to have him part of it.
It's a great attitude to have, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah, I think he's brilliant. Yeah. I think he's brilliant, John Lawson.
As long as the player can compartmentalise the legal claim against the need to still be giving his all on the ground, he's happy with that to be the case. And I think that's a good way to look at it.
I can't think, Duke, of a better bloke to be doing that job. His credits in the bank with this competition are so enormous as a player and a premiership coach that he's got nothing to prove. If it was a young coach, he'd be thinking, how do I go from here? If I don't succeed and I'm unlikely to, I'll get tipped out and never get another look in. He's able to say, well, I can actually restructure this group and maybe hand it on to someone in 5 years' time in great shape and be remembered for doing a titanic job. I think he's the perfect bloke.
Emotional intelligence is a word that gets used a lot in 2016, and I reckon he would be off the charts with that because he just doesn't flinch. That's a really tricky question to answer.
Yep.
He didn't hesitate. No. It wasn't a stutter or a stumble. It was like, hey, we thought about that, and this is our position. I didn't see the show last night. Can I just say, Mick Malloy was saying this morning, he hadn't gone back and seen. You showed some vision, I believe, of Bush. And he just said, I didn't quite understand just how brutal. Tough and brutal that man was. He was the one person on the field, Chief, that you looked at and went, he would just calculatedly kill you if he had the chance.
He was a wrecking machine, Duke. If he saw a target he could pick off, he said, that'll do me.
Did he get either of you two?
I about my 10th game, it was the last game of the Witten Oval, actually, he ran past in the forward pocket, and I threw a sort of loose elbow, and caught it. And he just sort of looked around. It wasn't even like, it was just like, are you serious? Are you actually serious that you're going to... But what I loved about him is that he would, if it was Tony Lockett, or if it was Glenn Archer, or if in fact, he went harder at the ones that were the opposition warriors. He targeted them with even more vigour. Yep.
He went at Dermot a lot whenever we played them. So they had a good rivalry. Yep. They cleaned each other up a few times. I'm not sure I ever saw him take on Plugger, though. I'd like to see that on tape. I never saw anyone take on Plugger, Duke. And for that matter, why would you?
No, you absolutely wouldn't. The illicit drug situation within Football Purple. You spoke about it on the footy show last night. You had a conversation with the CEO who talked about the hair testing and a few other things.
Yeah, an official from Footy Club, Jim, had told me that his club was made aware over the summer, Darce and Chief, that three players had tested positive under the hair testing. And this person was shocked. And not a CEO, Jim, but this person was shocked. And said to the AFL, well, I'm in trouble here. I've got three players on my books who are taking drugs. And was told in no uncertain terms that result was actually a result to be celebrated. That only three was at the, quote, very low end of what they're dealing with. And Herald Sun's reporting tonight, Jim, that there's 11 Collingwood players who've, under the same off-season hair testing, have produced positive results. And, look, certainly anecdotally, that number is not exclusive to Collingwood either. There are other clubs out there with that sort of number. So it's,
and the hair testing, so people know, is during the 10-week absence from the club?
The off-season. And they're not considered official strikes under the under the policy. And the other aspect of the hair testing too, Jim, is that whatever you choose to do in your social life, it will stay in your hair longer than it will your blood or urine. So
is that random, the hair testing, or the players subjecting themselves to that at the end of their leave period because it can go back and see what they did on their leave?
That's the case, Darce. And again, I can't claim to speak for all 18 clubs. Some clubs got all players tested under that regime. Other clubs got 50%. Some clubs got 75%. I think most clubs wanted to get most of them done.
I have to say, Dame, I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. Yep. And I think if you look at what, and this is a conversation that's been had a number of times, and I'm not enlightening anyone with this, but that is a massive issue in society, as we know. You know, the thing that I thought might have been the greatest curtailer was what happened to the two Collingwood players in taking illicit drugs and then having that lace with performance-enhancing drug.
Yeah.
And what happened to those two boys, as we know, Josh Thomas and Lockie Keith, were out of the game for 12 months and maybe longer. I thought that might have been the greatest deterrent, but that's obviously, those numbers are saying that it's not.
Well, at the very club at which that happened, us, if that is is the number of players who have done it, basically within the 12 months, and that just says all it needs to be said. Jim, you, and again, this has been reported, so I'm not asking you to divulge confidences here, that John Witherup, who's the departing Gold Coast Suns chairman, made the point in the president's gathering two Thursdays ago that if the players were going to be putting their hand out, as they are, for a lot more money when it comes to this next collective bargaining agreement, that the clubs should choose to use the drugs policy as one way to get more out of them in return. And again, this has been reported. I've spoken to other people about this. Just if I can, from you, get a feel for the room on that occasion, and as to how do you think the clubs will approach the results now that are starting to be made public on in terms of players taking drugs?
Well, firstly, it's very disappointing they are being made public, especially if they're accurate, because that shouldn't be happening. But secondly, the AFL negotiated on behalf of the clubs with the players, as we know, during the collective bargaining. So they're the ones that will have that discussion. It's not for club presidents or CEOs to get involved, other than to speak to the AFL and say, well, this is how we'd like it to go. And everyone, there's 18 different versions of that, I guess.
Yep.
But look, it's certainly not a perfect policy. We know that. It's groundbreaking. The AFL, I think, was close to the first big code to bring it in. They even admit that they haven't got it right, 100% right, but it's well in advance of what a lot of other people have had in their codes. And in fact, a lot of other games have come our way, you know, in the last 5 years. So I'm a defender of it, because I know it's not right, but I also think it's an innovation that the players were prepared to put up with that other players weren't in other codes. So, and this hair testing, you know, you get people who will say within clubs, well, we should know, we should all know. Mm. But the AFL and, you know, Doc Harry Unglick and, you know, Peter Harcourt and these people are very passionate that the clubs don't know, only the club doctors. And they've forgotten more about this than I will know. It's not an area of expertise for me, Purple. So I bow to their better judgment a bit with it. I know it's not right. I know it's got to be fixed. And I know during this collective bargaining, it will be a big issue. No doubt about that. But I do think that you've got to listen to the experts. And I am so far not an expert that I've just got to take their counsel when they say it's not for you to know, it's for your doctor, and it's got to be handled a certain way. So, but there are lots of people within footy clubs, and Chief can probably back me up here. I know Jeff Kennett was one who railed against the fact that he wasn't made aware when one of his players, you know, tested positive. But
and that's not so you can punish or discipline the player, so you can help them.
Yep.
And then look to help those that might be close friends of theirs, and because it's very rare that a player is going to do something one out on his own.
Yeah.
But they hang in groups, don't they?
Chief, I've always felt the policy to be a sham, and I use that word in terms of it was never ever meant to catch anyone, so to speak. And I think it's actually facilitated the practice. And while you say it's there to help people, I agree, Jim. I know what you're saying about the welfare model that's there. But
yeah,
to
I
me,
disagree.
It's a behaviour
issue.
I disagree
with you so strongly on that, Damo. To say it's facilitated that behaviour, it's just so misleading. It's just not factual at all. Because if what was happening but prior to that, Damo, and I was a player at that stage, and Chief would have been at the end of his career, was that you only got tested under the old system by WADA on weekends. Hmm. So there was no chance, unless you had an addiction and the night before a game you were going to. So every player who chose to use recreational drugs had no way of any way of being caught at all. So everyone understood there was a problem. So for the players to actually, you know what, sign over that and say, hey, we're actually going to... And you know, for most people, that is a big deterrent. Now, there's a group that it isn't. There's a group that then found a loophole in that system that I couldn't have seen would have been the case. And we all know that's the case. So the AFL then gone back to the players and said, hey, you know what, this is being exploited. Let's go harder.
The loophole was always there, Dust.
Of course but who knew that was there?
The players knew. The players knew from year one.
Well,
you were never
players.
Going to be... Look, it's a fact that the only person to ever be done for three strikes, the third strike happened to be a police involvement. And that's not a coincidence, Dust.
It's not so
when
much
you get
whether
two
or not you
strikes,
actually suspend someone.
Of,
it's whether you actually save someone, whether you actually change someone's behaviour, whether or not by going to the club doctor and actually getting counselling and saying, hey, this is the path you're going down. We don't know the stats on that. We don't know how many people have had their lives saved by that.
Yeah.
You know, I got a 12-year-old. If he chose to go down the path, you would want him to be in an AFL environment because every 18-year-old is going to be exposed to this in society. Every one of them.
Do you? Do you want to be one of him to be a member of a footy club that's got 11 players doing it?
Yeah, because
despite
you know
all
what?
The warnings.
You know what? If his mates down the pub, if he goes to a school, he'll have about 150 of his mates will all be doing it. So what he has got is the opportunity to be counselled. He has got the opportunity to see a club doctor. He has got the opportunity to get a massive smack over the... And then if it does get public, he has the shame that that's facing. So I think the system, Damo, is not perfect, as Jim said. But it's miles in front of what the rest of society is doing. It's miles in front of what the other codes are doing.
It will change. I have no doubt about that. It'll change again with this CBA. It probably has to. Hmm. But I just keep hearing these experts say that naming and shaming and having everyone aware is not the way to go. And I just don't believe they would keep saying that, Purple, if they were wrong.
Well, Jim, if you multiply the 11 at Collingwood as being reported
tonight...
But
is that... I mean, how accurate is that?
Oh, I'm not disbelieving of that article.
Okay. And but even if it is, Dumbo, even if it is... Yeah. That is what it is. That is the reflection of what happens in society.
Well, you're looking at probably 1/10 of footballers running around, maybe more, maybe 1/8 of footballers running around or out there doing it. Is that the message that we want to send as a competition? That one on eight. How many players are on the ground tonight? 44. You got 5 or 6 players tonight running around.
One in
on
eight
drugs.
Have experimented. No, that's on drugs. 1 in 8 at some point in their life have experimented with drugs. So it's very different to saying we've got, you know, 8% of the players out there running around doing that on a regular basis.
The deterrent factor to it is clearly not working, though. So if part of this policy is as a deterrent, it's not working.
It's not going to change big time until the players get a hold of it. There will come a day, I think, and there are different views amongst the players as well. Because there are generational gaps between senior players, younger players, and what's accepting of social behaviour and what's not.
Yep.
But until the players grab a hold of this and say, you know what, we're going to hold ourselves to a higher account because we've had enough. We don't like the way our game's being perceived. Until they grab a hold of it and say, this is the level of integrity we're going to put as far as taking illegal or recreational drugs goes, I don't think much is going to change until that happens.
I've been known on Good Friday to make a real tour myself, Duke. I can often get underway around lunchtime, and I'll tell you right now, by 9 o'clock, give me a very wide berth.
On the cards again this year,
Jim. One of my favourite days. Yes. It's actually why I hope the Kangaroos get involved in Good Friday. Might just straighten me out.
What do you got lined up tomorrow, Jim?
Just some fish.
Yep.
That might be all the food. And then, by jingoes, little by crikey, I'll be pinning my ears right back.
Attendance at Hutchie's
party? No, I don't think I'll get to the supercar drive.
You made that your own a couple of years ago.
No more of that.
Hutchie throws a Good Friday party, does he?
He does. Okay. He does. Now, we've got Dennis Armfield shortly with us, one of our favourites, of course, on Triple M Football. But before we do, it's time to do this, Chief.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off.
This could be a long one, given it's an off-season brewing.
Well, I've given it a little bit of thought, Jim. Right. And there's a few things, particularly in recent weeks, that have come to mind that I think need to be addressed.
Good.
I'm going to start off with the young lady by the name of Maria Sharapova.
Oh, yes.
Who's been taking a substance for 10 years, apparently on medical advice.
Yes.
It was banned as of January 1.
Yep.
She was given plenty of communication about this. Apparently didn't open her emails, but they were coming from the WTA, so you might think they're reasonably important.
Yep.
But she also has a team of experts around her that attend to her every need. And when we're talking about experts in every field.
Yes.
So she really doesn't have a leg to stand on. Let's be brutally honest. No excuses whatsoever. So as far as I'm concerned, and she did a nice press conference where she batted her eyelids and played the old sympathy card, but I don't think it's going to work. She can take her hundreds of millions of dollars. She can take her complete inability to beat Serena. She can take her shrieking and her screaming, and she can hop on a boat and just ship off.
Oh, jeez. Strong start.
She's done.
Cop that.
Mm-hmm. Need to talk about the state government, Jim.
Yes, please.
Dan Andrews.
Come on, Dan.
Transport Minister Jacinda Allen. Come on. Just about everyone else involved in the decision-making.
Yep.
Tear up $1 billion on the East-West Link just to get yourself started.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon they've done anything to ease the horrific traffic congestion or infrastructure issues that we now have?
No,
zero. But now we're widening the Monash between the Balti Bridge and Power Street, which has basically tripled the transit times of just about every driver on the road, adding hours to people's journeys in some cases. Have they increased public transport options, Jim? No, they have not.
Oh.
Have they scrapped or reduced the tolls, Jim? Given we pay for faster, more direct travel on the freeways, that's what tolls are basically for.
Yes.
No, they have not reduced those at all.
He got his
but the government's ingenious solution to all this traffic chaos is pretty simple. It's quite ingenious, actually. Find a different route, they said.
Oh.
Which then impacts on all the alternative routes that people are taking. And their other absolutely extraordinary way to combat this is allow more time.
Oh, no.
And don't think I'm on a political crusade either, because old Malcolm Turnbull's absolutely clobbering them at the moment. He's got the impact and charisma of a wet lettuce leaf.
Oh,
but we'll talk about him on another occasion. So Dan and crew, let's bring back the old QE2, the big ocean liner. Let's make everyone comfortable on big deck chairs.
That's
christen the voyage with a nice bottle of champers. and ship them all off to taste. Adios, muchacho.
And reshuffle.
Now, I need to talk about another... Well, she's not a young lady. Let's be brutally honest. She's an old bat. But Madonna has been making people going to her concerts wait for 2 to 3 hours past the normal starting date before she gets going. What a wonderful way to treat the fans that have lined your pockets with millions of dollars. But her camp had very legitimate reasons for the incredibly late starts. Apparently, she has very strict pre-show routines. She does rehearsals, she does warm-ups, she does voice exercises, all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
Here's a novel thought. What about starting all that a few hours earlier? And perhaps we wouldn't think that you're a cantankerous, contemptuous, disrespectful prima donna.
No.
Some people have to organise transport.
Yes.
They organise babysitters, parking, all sorts of things so they can get to her concert.
Yep.
And she just jams it up everyone's clacker and says, pop that. So I'll tell you what, Madge, the material girl, and let's be brutally honest, she'll make someone a nice wallet one day. She is a leathery old flog. She needs to wake up to herself, treat her fans with a bit of respect. I'm sure she must own a boat so she can set a course for the deep blue ocean and ship off, Jim.
Listen to the chief.
Now, I also need to say that, Jim, you just missed out this week.
Nothing
because,
for me.
Talking about your Shield final exploits, Jim, nearly got your boot.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get you through them again before the night finishes.
But this person needs a mention. Some people have a habit of losing things. Now, some people don't care when they lose things. Some people have too much money, so it really doesn't bother them at all. Other people are just stupid.
Yes.
Now, you work out for yourself which category this person falls into. But when you've got a history of losing
coming my way,
and
too.
Often losing the same old thing,
won't be well received.
I'm led to believe the last item lost was iPad number 8.
Oh, no.
Perhaps it's time that Beck pulled the Duke back into line and said, no more for you, big lanky. You can just ship off.
Mate, I don't know whether you needed to get
how
personal.
How many iPads will it
it's
need?
It's not 8. It's been 5. It's an affliction, Chief. I just don't know how it happens.
And just before I finish on a final note, in Gaz's absence, I was asked to look after social media and attend to the Wolf Pack.
That's
pack.
Very good.
I politely declined. So, unfortunately, the pack and ship off today.
He's just...
Teddy Wheeler. He's got into some nice early form.
That's as good as he's been, I think, Chief.
That's just sharp.
Apart from the low-rent stuff, my way, Chief. But
come on, Duke. You just can't keep losing things.
Right, ship the pack off.
I liked it, Chief Ollie. It's nice and strong early. Now, we need to have a listen to this before we introduce this man. Listen up. Dennis turned around to confront Williams, and the ball had gone over his head. Now Williams. Out. Dennis! That's what he's out there for! Bell to Dennis! Dennis on field! Sticks it through the gun pot right in! Now we've got some work to do. Bunting on
look
the very quick.
Dennis!
Look at Dennis go! He's bloody run out
look
of his
end zone! Still
it in! Shoots it handy! And a bounce! Dennis! What about Dennis?
Underground
Dennis!
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 Dennis! Dennis!
On the ground, Dennis! I was shattered, Duke. Well, I knew he wasn't playing in the season opener, Dennis Armfield. Absolutely shattered.
Just devastating.
Good enough to join us, though. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Jeez, you've got some nice styling going on here, too, since I last saw you. The Shag's doing a bit.
Yeah, trying to neat myself up a little bit, mate. But and then have that bit of contrast, bit of rough
and
look.
The goatee's going as well.
Yeah, try to make myself look like a bit of a man.
Righto. Now, why aren't you playing for the people who are interested? And that's all the Blues Army, of course.
Yeah, just a little bit of a hamstring issue. So hopefully just 1 week away now. So a bit of a slow start. But look, the boys out there now are the ones doing the job.
The hamstring, Dan, when you go at the speed you go at, and that is something that we've spoken about here before on Triple M, you're going to be susceptible to a hamstring. Have you done one before, or is this the first time?
Nah, first one. So
bad one? How many weeks?
Nah, it was only a grade one, mate, so very little. So just taking the cautious route. You know, it's a long season, so we'll get there.
Okay. So, Dennis, we're looking forward to a good performance from the Blues tonight. We need to know how profound has the impact of Brendan Bolton been since he's come over in terms of the way you guys are going to approach the game style, all that sort of thing. I suspect it was probably an eye-opener when he first got there.
Yeah, look, mate, the standards have really changed at our club. And, you know, blokes like Sam Kerridge, too, coming into the side and setting the trend, too, with body composition and training standards. But, yeah, Bolts has been fantastic, a real good teacher, teaching all the young kids, new kids, a lot of new faces at the team, you know, 5 new debutants tonight and stuff. So he's been super. He's really led the way, kept probably the old boys like myself revitalised and then the young boys flying.
Tell us a bit about the number one draft pick, Jacob Wiedering, who's out here on debut. What sort of bloke is he? He's a serious cat. He's an unbelievably well-prepared man, but has he got a bit of humour? What sort of bloke is he?
He's very serious. It's very hard to get a joke out of Jacob. He's a bit of a stiff, like I like to call him. But no, look, he's very very professional. Gets the most out of him, and I think you've seen in the last two sort of NAB Challenge games that he's really clued on to his football, and he'll put another good performance in tonight.
He's going to assist, isn't he, the work of Matty Cruiser, who's had to shoulder it for so long and his body's letting down at various stages. But do you see a different role for him now that Vetering is in the side?
For Cruiser? Not so much. I reckon Cruiser will probably go a little bit forward as well. With Andrew Phillips, big flip, him in the side too, he's able to take the ruck roll and go forward. So, look, yeah, Cruiser's had a great pre-season, and I'm really looking forward to see what he does tonight.
How do you pronounce Jacob's name, please, Dennis?
I say Jacob Wetering, but I just call him Jake.
We were told in the homeland it's Wetering, but out here the family's happy for it to be called Wetering.
Yeah, it's okay. Wetering. Yeah.
Now, when you're just walking around the cafes there in Carlton, Dennis, do you get people just stopping and giving you a really big, loud Dennis?
Yeah, thanks to you guys, I get Dennis a fair bit. But, yeah, it's an interesting name. I don't hear it very often, so it's good.
I think you're the only person under 30 in Australia called Dennis, to be honest.
I don't know about that. I'll hopefully meet some other Dennis.
And the Jim Steins medalist on Brownlow night, congratulations for that.
Yeah, massive honour. Really good to get Odyssey House some recognition that it deserves.
Yeah, brilliant. So how does that explain, again, people who are listening don't understand what the Jim Steins medal's about? It's off-field related. What is it?
Yeah, just those that give back to the community. Look, there's a lot of people in AFL doing it, and I was just lucky enough to win it last year, and there's many more deserving people out there. So, look, any work we can do for the community to help out and give back.
Brilliant, mate. We need to let you go. I think you've got duties to attend to. Great catching up with you. So how long are we next week, did you say?
Touch wood, mate, if I can get out there. Yeah, pull my finger out.
Oh, very nice. Well, we look forward to it, Dennis, because it's not the same watching the Blues without you.
Thanks,
Thanks
Mike.
For dropping
on you,
by.
Dennis.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Dennis.
Dennis Armfield, I think we've got some Darryl Braithwaite. Where is he?
Up on the stage, Jim.
Oh, yes.
Tell you what, his voice sounds a bit better than the old Loaf, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, he's got the Loaf covered. That's not saying much. Apparently, the security measures outside are meaning that there are massive queues. So if you're outside and coming to the ground, just be patient. You'll get in. But there are obviously difficult times from a security point of view.
Well, that's good to hear, Jim, because it's a little thin in here at the moment, given we are closer to game time. You'd expect a few more, only 20 minutes away from the first bounce.
But they are pushed back to us, aren't they, in the top deck? Yeah, that's always a sign of a big crowd coming. They're right up to the line of the roof.
I'm understanding that the Pack are slaughtering the Chief as we speak. The Wolfpack have spoken.
Well, you know what the great thing is? They control the living daylights out of me, Jim. I don't read social media. Pack, ship up!
You're about to hear some, Chief. When we come back, we'll avail you of it.
I'm very happy to have take hold of the iPad. If they're giving it to Chief, I'm right into this.
It's just a dangerous place to be, though, that iPad. Given your record with them, Duke.
Yeah.
But I understand that the Wolfpack have come pounding in the Chief, which we absolutely love, because anyone that does gets a ticket of approval from me. What are we hearing, Duke?
In fact, we'd be happy to give away some prizes, Jim. I'm happy to anyone who wants to pile into the Chief. There's a very consistent theme. There's a
go
lot
on.
Of images arriving. Teddy Willis just said, monitor this. And a big picture of a silverback.
Silverback, Chief.
The silverback's getting decent run.
Originality, with the probably not the pack strength. But anyway, it's all good.
Keep them coming in, please, because it's making me laugh a lot.
That's it.
Is it Stu Hurstage? He says, Stu Harding, is it? I can't read your writing there, Damo. Still picking myself up, staggering that the Chief is so disrespectful to the Wolfpack.
Night one of the pack.
Staggering.
Just read what's
and
written
just,
there.
And just simply...
Don't start making them up, Jim.
Chief,
you know what, Jim?
I'm reading them. Chief.
Yeah, I can see there's no more there. You're about to make one up.
Chief,
flog.
You're an unbelievable flog.
Do you know?
That's
he's
sort of
such a tool. The pack is better than that. We want them to be creative. We want them to entertain us. So come on, load up, pack. Let's go.
No, we do. But if they clip you along the way, Chief, that's
all
right.
Happy
they'll
to get clipped.
They'll get
it. You know, I'm always happy to get clipped, Jim.
Triple M rocks football.